Do you love your rat? Are you getting your rat taxidermied and put on your counter? Podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love a Taylor Swift reputation conspiracy theory.
Ooh, yes, we do. We live for them, honestly.
We really do. We really do. I'm Michael Ann, and with me as always is Bethany. Bethany, how are you?
I'm great. Inside baseball, everyone, right before we recorded, since obviously the other day we meant to record Destin, and then we went crazy. We went on such a long tangent that we're like, we're just doing chaos. We're gonna switch it this week. So right before we went to record, Mike Land's like, I did a Destin tagline on a chaos. Should I just do chaos on a Destin? And I was like, yes, tag us in with whatever's in your heart. And honestly, that did not disappoint. Y'all, yes. I just want to briefly, we're not going to rant today. We're going to get so down to business. Mm-mm, I promise before we even hit the 3-minute mark, we're going to be talking Destin, baby. But I just want to quickly say, I cannot get through this time of year now since, you know, that year and not just automatically be like, this is the week where the world started shutting down. Like the other day, I was like, this is the day the news broke about Disney closing down, and then Universal followed soon. It was supposed to be for 2 weeks. And then coming up, we'll be like, this was the last day I worked before the world shut down. And it just every, like, the early teens of March, I'm just like, 2020. I just get COVID flashbacks. So I just had to share that. Yeah. So hi, everyone. Welcome to the week where the world shut down about 4 years ago, which is also kind of crazy that it was 4 years ago now. But
unbelievable. Honestly.
Time is an illusion. It be wild. But Destin, what happened to Goodbye? It was a great chapter. Chapter 10. I told you, even before we hit the 3-minute mark, we'll be discussing it. Michael Ann, what happened last chapter?
Oh, shit.
I wish you all could have just seen her face. It was the most oh shit face I've ever seen in my life.
Well, of course, last chapter. Chuckles was here.
Yes, Chuckles. The elusive Chuckles.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Chuckles was here. He gave the restaurant a thumbs up. Dad kind of started getting a little weird. Said he was going to call or set up a little date with Lindsay Baker. Alarming.
Yes. Yes, alarming for many reasons.
But they saved the restaurant. They saved everyone's jobs. Deb is also amazing. We learned so many things about her. She loves miniatures and she is a tattoo expert and she's just friendly and lovely.
Yes.
And we stand mom up. And McLean are not really talking to each other.
Yeah.
And that is where we are.
Yes. That was chapter 9. Now we're here. It's chapter 10. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We jump right on in to seam? I don't know where that came from. Am I sewing clothes? This is the seam of the dress. We jump right on in to a little model making. And I love the first couple pages of this chapter because, again, as you know, we're girlies who worked at restaurants, that this is pretty accurate, some of the stuff that's going on here. So she's up there with her boy Dave. They're working on the old model. She's working on her sector. And he's all like, you hear that? And she's like, what? And she's like, you know, just the normal, like, hustle and bustle of setup. And he's like, no, it's more than that. So she kind of looks in and listens in, I guess I should say, because obviously they're upstairs. And she realizes, she's like, oh, that's just my dad. Like, he's probably firing someone. Like, cash. And so she says she made out of bullshit, the word inept, and a mention of a road and a suggestion that whoever he was speaking to consider hitting it. So yeah, so she's like, sounds like he's firing someone. And he's like, how can you tell? And she's like, the volume, like my dad like doesn't get that loud. Like he doesn't get that heated unless like he's telling someone that, you know, to go find out where the door is, showing him to the door. And so she says that the other person must be the person using the vulgar language, because no matter how upset her dad is, like he doesn't use that kind of language, which we respect that, Gus. Yes, more restaurant owners, managers, not cursing people out. We stan.
That would be great.
That would be great. It'd be so good. And so she says that it's probably, I would wager whoever it is that's throwing something sounds like a bus bin. And she says it was probably a dishwasher. And so, of course, Dave asks, how would you know that? And she's like, girls usually don't bang out or throw stuff, and kitchen guys yell more. Accurate. I can definitely say in my experience, my many years of experience working in restaurants, yeah, that tracks.
That tracks. Exactly.
That tracks real hardcore. So yeah, I just love this beginning. Like, I love that Dave is like, you're the restaurant whisperer. And she's like, no, I've just spent, you know, a lot of time in them, and these are the things you kind of pick up on, which is accurate. And he kind of talks about, again, we get in a little bit more about the fact that, like, dad was definitely married to his job. Like, he was married to the restaurant that him and mom owned. And that, you know, while her mom, like, clearly loved it and whatever, like, she took time off. My clan is, like, stuck on her microphone, everyone.
I am having a moment here, me and my microphone.
She's really having a moment. They're having a little tussle. But she is explaining that her mom, you know, like, took the time off. Or I think it's like her mom prioritized being a mom. And again, guys have that going for them, right? Where it's like they don't have to worry. Like, they know that he knew that his wife would take care of his kid. And again, I'm not saying that Yul Gus is a bad guy. Her dad seems like a pretty swell guy. But it's just like, it's the way the society is. And so a lot of guys are just like, they prioritize their job. They prioritize being the breadwinner because they know that their wife will take care of their kid. And it kind of sounds like that's the situation here, which we kind of already knew. But it is interesting to hear McLean like admit that to someone, I guess, that she realizes that like her dad was not the most present person, and that probably was a little difficult for her mom. And Dave basically straight up is like, do you think that's why she's with Peter now? And she's kind of like, hot damn, okay, you like went for the jugular there. And he's a little like, oh, I'm sorry, my bad. Like, I probably, you know, shouldn't have said that. And she's like, no, you know, it's fine. But yeah, I liked that, again, just the restaurant whisperer part of this kind of beginning, but also a little bit more insight into what was life before we lived only with dad and mom was with Peter and all that kind of stuff.
I really liked the beginning of this chapter because of all of the restaurant stuff. Because as y'all know, I love a restaurant. I love it. I love how she knows everything. Oh, we get the only sound, the voices of the waits. We get another waits.
Yeah,
waits. Which I love that. I'm gonna start calling my husband that and see if he realizes what I'm saying.
We hang out with the other waits today. I'm just gonna start calling my husband. My husband's a waits currently. He's a wait. But yeah, that is, both of our husbands are still they're being waits right now. Loving every minute of it, hating every minute of it. It's a love-hate relationship.
Yes, 100%. So she also mentions here that they kind of stopped talking. And she says, I've learned over the last few weeks of putting in time on the model that the rhythm was different depending on who was working alongside me. When it was Deb or Deb and Dave even, we kept a pretty constant chatter talking about music and school and whatever. But when it was just me and him, there was a different ebb and flow. Some conversation, some silence, always something to think about. It was like another language I was learning, how to be with someone and remain there, even when the conversation and I got uncomfortable.
But listen, that is how you know that you vibe well with someone, when you can just like be in silence, when you can do a little parallel play, when you know, and it's still, you're like, oh yes, that's my person. We love
facts. We love that. So then from the restaurant below, she says she can hear the final touches. You know, she says there was the final touch before opening as the music came on. There was the final touch before opening. Oh, was the final touch the music coming on? Okay. Because I, like, the first time I read this, I was like, I wonder if final touch is, like, what they call pre-shift.
Oh, yeah. You're like, is that their pre-shift?
Yeah, I was like, I think.
Yeah, I guess she's saying the music coming on is, like, the final thing. Like, ah, yes. They're turning on the music. They're opening the doors. This music choice is interesting, and I'm not sure I agree with it. But you know what? This man knows more about restaurant. This fictional man knows more about owning and operating a restaurant than I do. So I guess I'm going to go with your something that I understand. He was saying, like, simple and good. He wanted a low volume, instruments only, so words don't compete with conversation. And I was like, yes and no. Like, sometimes I think instruments only is, like, very, like, elevator music. And I just think about the poor people stuck working there every day is what I'm saying. Because, y'all, I worked at Twosome Chocolate Emporium. Yes, the Willy Wonka restaurant in Universal, for a hot minute during the COVID time. Speaking of COVID earlier in the conversation, for a hot minute, I only had to work there for about a month. It is just as crazy as you think it is, especially in the middle of a global pandemic. And they have, like, Muzak, you know, like, they don't have, like, most of the other restaurants at Universal have soundtracks with songs, like hit songs, you know, pop songs and rock songs and stuff. But they just have, like, jaunty little jazz tunes because it's, like, old-timey steampunk. And it drove me absolutely insane. It was more annoying than listening to a soundtrack with words. And I thought that it wouldn't be. I thought it would be, like, oh, just, like, blend in the background because it doesn't have words. No, because it's, like, the same four fucking songs. And, like, you can't tell when one ends and one begins because, like, they all kind of blend into each other. And just, like, boop, bop, boop. And I, like singing. Like, I don't know. Like, I like probably people don't, like, keep listening to me sing. But when I'm, like, at work, like, I like, you know, humming along to the music, singing along to the music. And when it's all instrumentals, you're just, like, what do I do? Like, you can't, like, come along to it, you know? So, anywho, Gus, it might be great for the tempo and to make people hungry and not, like, be over people's conversations, but think about your poor weights is all I'm saying. You care for a 10-hour shift and they're miserable.
That's very interesting because I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. Everybody should just play instrumentals because I was thinking about working at Universal and hearing the same 10 songs 6 days a week for 2 years.
And trust me, that's not great either.
But and
I'm going to say, I think I prefer it. I think I prefer that.
And I still get, like, PTSD flashbacks whenever I hear one of the songs in public. I'm like, whoa!
Yeah.
Oh, no.
There are certain songs that I will just always associate with NBC. Oh, also, again, we are here to talk Destin today, but one of my favorite podcasts, Podcast The Ride, is currently covering, it's a whole saga. In many episodes, they're covering City Walk Orlando, and I have waited for this for years, because, like, 5 years ago, they did Hollywood. I feel like my mic is, like, shaking, and it's probably making a god-awful noise for everyone. I'm so sorry. Hopefully that stabilized it. But anywho, so, like, 5 years ago, they did Hollywood, and it was just, like, really funny, and they were, like, right. And this was, like, before Hollywood basically duplicated Orlando City Walk, so it was all, like, very different things. And I have been waiting with bated breath for them to cover Orlando's, and they are. And, yes, the NBC episode has come out. I have not gotten very far into it, but I will – yeah, I just – you're – Mike Landry, you have to listen to it, I think, because I just
– I have to listen to it.
Dying to know what they say about it, and – yeah, I'm just excited. It's been fun so far listening to them talk about, like, a place that I don't know, probably have nightmares. Like, I you know what I mean? Like, if you work there, like, that was where I was every day for years. Mm. So it's crazy.
Suffering.
Cuban jazz. That's what Dad is playing. Cuban jazz. And yes. Dave does agree that it is making him hungry.
Yes. It says, in a good restaurant, you never notice these things, which is exactly how it should be. Eating out is about just that, eating. The meal is what matters. As a customer, you shouldn't have to think about details like this. And if someone like my dad is doing their job right, you don't. And that is definitely true because there are restaurants you go in, you don't notice the music at all. You're just like, well, I'm vibing, I'm eating, I'm enjoying my life. And there are some places you go and you're like, if you don't shut this music off within the next 3 minutes, I'm leaving. So I love that.
For some odd reason, one more thing about NBC and its music, and then I swear y'all will move on. But yes, we're going to relate this book to our serving careers. But for some odd reason, again, most of the time people wouldn't comment on the songs. And a lot of times we had the TVs on. So obviously during that time, you know, it would be like whatever sporting event was on, whatever game was on that people would be hearing. But when it was just the music, this happened a lot more at lunch because I think people could hear it more because it wasn't as loud in there. It wasn't as crowded. But for some odd reason, people usually wouldn't comment on it until the song Walk by Pantera came on. And then every middle-aged white man would be like, yo, got a great soundtrack and here's a great song. And I was like, try listening to it 1,000 times a day, sir. And you won't think that. My husband is actually a very big Pantera fan. He skipped his senior prom to go to them. But even he was like, I can't stand listening to this song one more time because that is how often we had to listen to it. But yeah, like it was always like a middle-aged white dude being like, Pantera, you don't hear this every day. Oh, it's a great soundtrack y'all got here. And I'm like, sir, I do hear this every day is the problem.
Like, actually, it's terrible. Would you like to listen to it on loop and during your darkest moments?
Very triggered by this song, actually. And my husband, who recently went to see them in concert, was like, do you want me to send you a video when they play Walk? And I said, I'd rather you stab me in the eyes than do that. But thank you so much for the offer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. But. Yes. Anywho. So, yes. Cuban jazz. Yes, if it's a good restaurant, people aren't noticing these things. You are there for the food. This is another thing. Okay, we're probably going to go on another restaurant tangent, y'all, but I promise we'll try to keep it brief. So then Dave, you know, this is when he's like, you're the restaurant whisperer. This Cuban jazz is making me hungry. And she's like, we can go downstairs and like eat a little something. We've worked on our sector. I've built this little model firehouse. Let's go downstairs, Dave. Have a little dinner date. And he's like, okay. And so... he's, you know, so he says, only if you tell me what's the best thing to order right after opening, he replied, because I know you know, which yes, any person who has been around a restaurant long enough can tell you, like, there are certain times of day you should not order certain things. There are certain things that are going to get to you quicker if you order, like, when a restaurant is first firing up, like, don't order anything too, like, hearty, I guess. I don't know. Like, don't order the steak dinner at 4 o'clock when the restaurant first opens, because let me tell you, the kitchen ain't fucking ready for it. They're just not. Order something that's going to be like quick and easy. And again, during a busy dinner shift, there are certain things also you should not be ordering because it's going to take forever to get to your table, especially if you're like a party of six, yada, yada, yada. So yeah, when people used to ask me like generic questions, like what's good here? I think hate that question. I don't know what your taste buds are. I don't know whatever, but I can tell you not to order the spinach dip during a dinner rush because it's going to sit in the window for 20 minutes. And when it gets to you, it's going to be gross. I can tell you that. So again, I'm going to say it in a nicer way because I can't say that, you know, if I'm actually still working there. But yeah, when people used to come in on football Sunday and try to order wings because it's football Sunday, I was like, do you know that you and 5,000 other people, it's going to take forever to get to you. If you're fine with that and you have the patience for that, great. If you're starving right now, get something else. Get like a turkey club because I can get that to the table in 10 minutes and it's going to be good and it's going to be fresh. You want that? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And honestly, my restaurant hot take is that you should never order a steak unless you're at like a specifically a steak restaurant, yeah, because you're not going to get it cooked correctly ever.
Yeah. Also, anyone out there listening to us from the great state of Texas, if you're from Texas and you want to order barbecue somewhere because like your brisket is so good back home, don't. Fucking don't. You're gonna be disappointed. I'm sorry to, like, I hate when people be like, you know, I'm from Wisconsin, so I gotta try your cheese curd. You're gonna be disappointed because it's not as good as yours. I'm from Texas and I just gotta see how y'all do ribs. Don't.
No.
You're not gonna like it.
Look at the size of this restaurant, sir.
Yeah.
It is called NBC. We are corporate run. How do you think our barbecue is compared to like the place down the street from you in Texas? Like, honestly.
You're just setting yourself up for disappointment. And then when I tell you, I don't know if you're going to like that. And then you get it and you're like, I should have listened to you. And this is disappointment. And I'm spending theme park prices for these like mediocre ribs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you some good places in the area to get barbecue if you want. Again, I don't know if it's going to be like what you're expecting from Texas, but yeah, it's not going to be at a theme park. And again, anything, just lesson for life, anyone. If you have never tried something and it's the first time you want to try it, don't let it be at a theme park. Don't pay that price.
Right.
It's A, it's very corporate. B, you're going to be paying out of the wazoo for it. Try it somewhere else. Try it at a mom and pop place and then see if you like it.
Yes.
This is my hot take.
Honestly, just stay safe. Stay in your comfort zone when you're at theme parks because you're going to want to, trust me.
Yeah. Ferguson fries. Like, you can't go wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, get your chicken tenders, get your burgers, get your french fries. Again, if you're going to some place that specializes in something, like, there are, you know, obviously there are a lot of places. Theme park food has definitely improved in the last, like, decade, right? You know, there's so many places at Disney that are absolutely delicious. There's even places at Universal that I think are you know, pretty fantastic. But again, you want to go to somewhere that's, like, going to specialize in something. Because you're going to find, when you're going to a generic, like, bar and grill type place, get generic bar and grill type food. Because, you know.
Yes. Don't get a steak. I will say, when I went to Disney in January, it was my first time there in like 2 years. And the food went up in quality. It's like a lot healthier now. It's like seems fresher. There's a lot more variety of options. Like, I went to ABC Commissary in Hollywood Studios because that's typically my go-to quick service. And I was like, I'm just gonna grab chicken tenders and fries. They didn't have chicken tenders and fries. I had to get something else. But you know what? No regrets, because it was delicious.
Yeah. I feel like Disney has, like, really upped their quick service game. You know?
Yes.
Like, I'm impressed by their quick service game. Obviously, their full service, I think, has been pretty darn good for years now. And like we said, obviously impeccable service. Like, you're just not gonna find, like, the, like, kind of service and, like, customer service that you get in, like, Orlando, especially the theme parks. But yeah, the food is also quite good, but the quick service is always kind of, like, a little sketch. But they have really upped their game.
They've really improved.
The next day I came home from school. her dad was home, which is strange. She's already like, what is going on? And he's waiting for her, which gives her even more of a panic. You know, she has an AHBL, all hell broke loose moment. You know, she's immediately like, oh my God, someone is dead. I was in big trouble, maybe both. And so, you know, he asked her, he asked her what's going on, or if she has a minute. And that's when she, like, panics, and she's like, what's going on? And he asks her, he's like, I need you to fill me in on what's going on between you and your mom. And she's like, great, awesome. So she's like, I felt two things simultaneously, relief that everyone was still breathing, replaced immediately by a flare of anger so familiar it was like an old friend. And so she says, you know, like, what happened? And he's like, did you by any chance happen to have an argument recently? And she's like, why? And he's like, well, she's got her lawyer involved, which honestly, I'm beyond pissed off at. Like, truly beyond pissed. How are you a grown adult woman, a parent of someone, and you can't be enough of an adult to hash this out on your own with your daughter? You immediately didn't get what you wanted, which was her to come and visit. And you were like, we're going to the lawyers over it. Like, no.
Yes. Yeah. Mom handled this situation horribly, because exactly, like, all she has to do is be like, first of all, okay, what makes you the most comfortable? What hanging out situation makes you the most comfortable, which we've said on previous episodes. But then also, like, you want your daughter to spend her last, like, what is it, 6 months of being a minor in court? Like, what? Mom is
bullshit. And again, like, no offense, I'm not saying, like, don't see your daughter, but McLean brings up a valid point. She's like, it's my senior year. Like, the last, like, spring term of your senior year flies by. And that's one thing, like, we can all remember about high school. It's that, like, the first half drags and the second half absolutely flies by. And it's like prom, graduation, this, that, like, you probably have, like, some kind of senior trip. Like, there is seriously so much going on that, like, you think her mom would be slightly understanding, like, oh, she has a lot going on, like, maybe, you know, we can plan a beach trip this summer when she's in between high school and college and has a little bit more spare time. But no, like, and her dad basically is saying to her, you know, it's the last 6 months of your senior year. When you're 18, you're gonna be off to college, you're going to not have to worry about her and the lawyers. But do you really want to spend this in court? Like, you probably should just cave into her a little bit, so that way, like, we don't have to battle this again. Which is terrible. That, like,
yeah,
you know. But, like, yeah, it's like, oh, basically you have to cave to her will, so you don't spend the last 6 months of your senior year, the last 6 months of you, her legally being able to control you because you're legally a minor for the next 6 months or whatever. in court. Like, that's just, yeah. Like, you're setting yourself, if that's how you're spending the last 6 months of her being a minor, when she does have her own say in things, when she legally turns 18, what do you think she's going to say? Because you just made her life miserable. Like, she'd be like, no, I'm good, thanks. Right. I'm going to not come visit you. Like, you're setting yourself up for failure, Mom. Truly. Jesus Christ. But yeah, she says, you know, like, she just saw her and she's like, don't I have a say in this at all? She can't force me to see her against my will, can she? And it's like, God, like, it's just, I don't know. It's so infuriating and it's just so sad. Like,
yeah, it's really sad. Yeah, it's just like, you just want to like call her mom and be like, why are you communicating like a teenager?
Yeah.
You, like, you need to be a parent and you're not doing that as effectively as you should be. Truly. But yeah, she's still fighting it. He's like, listen, McLean, like, you don't want to do this. Like, you don't want to go to court. And McLean's like, why can't you just leave me alone? Jesus, hasn't she gotten enough? And he's like, she's your mother. He loves you. And she says, if she'd love me, she'd let me stay here and live my life. Why don't I get to decide what I need? How come it's always up to mom or you or the freaking courts? And yeah. 100%. Like, yeah. Like, that's totally valid. That's totally valid.
If she loved you, like, she would give a damn about your opinion in this matter and would have handled this like an adult. And again, I mean, like, her mom does love her, obviously, deep down. But, like, she's right. not doing a great job of showing it, to be honest. Like, if I was McLean, I would feel the same way. I'd be like, I don't understand. You can't just, you know, throw a fit because you didn't get your way. Like, that's not what love is. That's not what a relationship is. Like, no.
Yeah.
Messed up.
Yeah, it is messed up. But dad's like, listen, you don't have to make a decision. I'm just asking you to think about it. And then he gives her a big hug, which is so cute. And then he leaves, goes down to the room, and she's pissed. She's like, I want to break something. I want to scream. Like, I can't do any of this in my neighborhood at 4 PM on a Wednesday. So she walks across her yard. Her lard. And she goes to that storm cellar.
Yes.
She goes down there. She picks up the flashlight that was on the top step. And she says, let's see. In summer first, she says, I took another look around me. Just another afternoon, the traffic picking up as rush hour approached. Nearby, a dog was barking. My partying neighbors had the TV on too loud. And somewhere 4 hours north, my mom was reaching out for me, extending her grasp further and further to pull me to her. I had run and dodged, zigged and zagged, and none of it had worked. I knew this wasn't a real solution either, but for the moment, all I could think to do was pick up that flashlight, turning it on, and she went downstairs and kind of just sits in the cellar and is like, what the fuck?
What the actual fuck?
Yeah. But... yeah, she says sitting down here was, like, actually kind of nice. She just gets to, like, think and sit in the dark. And then she hears a whirring noise up above. And she walks up there to see what's going on. And right when she's poking her head out, Dave is poking his head in. They scare each other. Dave says, you scared the bejesus out of me, which is amazing. It's love been that. So long since I've heard bejesus. Yeah. I love it. And she makes fun of him a little bit, and he's like, yeah. You startled me, and I love that. Hilarious. She was like, bejesus, really? And
are you an 80-year-old man, Dave? Like,
she's like, really? You startled me.
You startled me.
But he said, oh, no, I actually just came for the flashlight. Me and my dad are cleaning out the garage, and we need... He said, we're about to bond and need some illumination is actually what he said. a little strange guy. So she walks over to, like, his house to take a look at what's going on. So Mr. Wade is pulling all these boxes out of the garage.
I like that he says, it's a chore and a father-son activity all rolled into one.
Oh, yeah. So then he starts, like, talking to her. And... oh, and then I make a note here. I'm like, okay, so they share a driveway. No, that's also not true. I cannot picture these driveways.
I can't picture them. I'm very confused, to be honest.
When I grew up, I had like a big driveway, and then there was like a strip of grass, and then there was the other driveway. So yeah. Maybe it's like that. Although I forgot about that because my neighbors were fucking crazy, like called the cops on us and told them we were like running an illegal chop shop out of our garage, like all this crazy shit. Like the cops are at our house all the time.
What's wrong with these people?
It was really. And then her son built a giant cross, like probably 10 feet tall.
Oh.
Wrapped it in barbed wire, threw red paint all over it. And then, so we lived on like a main road. It was like two lanes, an island, two more lanes.
Yeah.
He walked into the middle of the fucking island and just like stuck it there. Like, this is strange. And we were like, what the fuck? But anyway, eventually they moved and it was great. But yeah, they were crazy. Oh, they put a huge fence up. In that little green space is where that was coming
like,
from.
We're gonna. You're like, honestly, yeah. For the best. We don't want to see you. We don't want to be your neighbors.
It was a safety hazard, but we got through it.
Yeah, this neighborhood. Okay, so like, there's this little storm cellar, right, which is like attached to the abandoned house. Which also, like, this seems like a pretty nice neighborhood. So I'm like, but there's just this random abandoned house. I'm like, how close? Because it's just like she walks out. Like, they've talked about it a few times. Like, the houses all seem like fairly close, but then this abandoned house seems like it was probably pretty big and lavish, but also it's abandoned. Mm-hmm. And she's like, were you ever in there? And so the more I learn about this neighborhood, the more I'm confused. And it's just like weirdly hard for me to picture for some reason. Like, also, I feel like in Lock and Key, like you really had a good at least I had a really good visual in my head of like what that neighborhood looked like, what their house was like, what her house looked like, and what Nate's house looked like. But every time I learn more details about this neighborhood, I get more confused.
Yes. Yeah. I also can't picture in my head for some reason. And this is probably just because like, we didn't grow up in a neighborhood like this, but like, the backyards must be like connected as well. So like, she walks through her backyard and gets to that abandoned house's backyard, like behind.
Right. I guess.
I can't picture it. It's wild, but.
Yeah. I'm like very confused by it. And then again, she like, so we know where like the real Luna Blue is because it's Franklin Street, right? Like we were there.
Yes. We ate there.
Just saying.
Famously.
Not a brag, famously. Oh, you know, that time? That time that we like casually met Sarah Dessen? That time. Yeah. She talks about the fact that like she is in walking distance to basically what is Franklin Street. So I'm like, okay, so this has to be a neighborhood that's like pretty much downtown Chapel Hill then. Like that's like very close to the university. Again, and because I'm just like comparing it to Chapel Hill because it is. And I like my friend lived in a sorority that would have been like kind of in a neighborhood like that. Like obviously it was a sorority house, so like it was with all the other Greek life. It wasn't like residential, but still. So I'm just like kind of trying to like, okay, so like kind of where like Katie lives when she was in her sorority, and you'd walk to Franklin. That was pretty easy. So like trying to, you know, I just like keep visualizing it, but all I can think of is a big sorority house, and obviously that is not where they live. They live in a residential neighborhood, but still. Anyways,
anyway, we can't picture geography, and that is just who we are as people.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. If somebody could draw it for us, like if you're like, you guys are stupid, this is what it looks like. Draw us an aerial map. Like, I'd be thrilled. Like, do you know how many times when I'm reading fantasy novels, I have to Google fan art for what locations look like because I just don't have that in my head to be able to do. But anyway, so he's like, yeah, this is all my shit. They open one of the boxes and she can see, oh, actually, a few things happen here. First of all, she asks about the big house, and he's like, I don't know what it used to be. It's been abandoned basically his whole life. And she's like, it's huge. Like, what is that? Which is very interesting. I wonder if we're going to find out what the hell that house was. So, but then he pulls out the boxes. Some are open, some were taped shut. And she's like, what is all this stuff? And he was like, you name it, old chemistry set parts, rat cages. And she's like, rat cages? And he's like, yes, my mom is allergic to all dander except for rats. So it sounded like they had a lot of pet rats.
Yeah, they were some pet rat owners, which is a very wild concept to me.
People love rats. Like, I had a former friend who I dislike. She had rats her whole life. She had one of them taxidermied on her counter, and I was like, whoa.
Oh,
no shade, but also whoa. Yeah, it was just, it like sleeps and like on her kitchen counter, and I'm like, oh, that's so weird.
Okay. Anyway,
yeah, it was alarming to see. No offense to anybody out there with your rats taxidermied on your counter, like that, to each your own, but to me, I was like, yeah, if that's what you want.
I don't know if I would want that staring at me all the time. And
yeah. No. But anyway, so yeah, she used to tell me all, because I'd be like, rats. And she would tell me like, oh, they're actually really loving and like will cuddle with you and stuff. And I was like, fuck, hard to believe. But if anybody out there has a rat, let us know. Do you love your rat? Are you getting your rat taxidermied and put on your counter?
We inquiring minds need to know.
We really do. But then he opens one of the boxes, and she's like, he's got his model trains.
Oh, the model trains.
She's got a little toy soldier. So they're like chit chatting. And she's like, how much of this stuff do you still have? And he's like, we're maximalists. We don't throw anything away. You never know what you might need.
That's so relatable. I think. Well, when my parents like moved house, we did go through a lot. And then literally it was right after that Toy Story 3 came out, which of course it's like Andy packing up all his old toys, whatever. And my dad was like, I shit you not, if we would have seen that movie before we moved house, I would not have given up so much. I'm like, no, we can't get rid of it. That's the bond. And I was like, yeah, it's fair. But we did get rid of some stuff, but we still have just stuff. My dad, I think I like get my like nostalgia and my like weird hoarder tendencies from my father, because like the weird shirts that he has from like his high school days still and stuff. And my mom was like, you don't wear this, why do you have it? He's like, memories. And I was like, if that ain't me.
Like, I still have shit from elementary school.
Memories.
Yeah. My parents moved out of my childhood home, I don't know, like 6 years ago ish. Yeah. And so they were like texting me, calling me for like literally a year before that, being like, you need to come up here and go through your stuff. And I was like, I can't afford to come up there and go through my stuff. So they were like, you have to do it before we move. And I was like, well, that's just not going to happen. So just throw all my shit out. And I didn't really think anything of it. And then when I went to visit them like a year ago, they saved like one box of my things. And I was like going through it, and I was like, God damn it. Like, I should have figured out how to get up there and look through all my stuff. But you know what? Yeah. Now I won't hold on to it forever for no reason.
That's true. And that is probably a good, healthy thing.
Yes. So yeah, she's like, he's like, we don't throw anything away. And she's like, that's what stores are for. And he says the girl with no time. But then Mr. Wade is like, what the fuck? Come on, buddy. Of course, Mr. Wade would never drop an F-bomb.
No, not Mr. Wade.
He's very passive-aggressive.
Yeah. Exactly.
So he goes in there and he starts helping her. And she, like, looks around. She's like, wow, look at all this stuff. Oh, my God. I was just reading this and I was like, plus more modern things like revolvers and machine guns. I was like, what do these scientists have machine guns for? But it was the figurines. I was like, wow.
You're like, what is their research in?
And not in a safe? That seems out of character.
Yeah, these people seem way too, like, you know, straight-laced for that. She's smart enough to put their stuff in a safe.
Seriously. But she's, like, thinking about how he used to set up, like, these soldiers. And he's, like, she's thinking about, like, the battles he created. And she says, the most controlled kind of conflict, all within your doing, the outcome and every consequence, carefully manipulated. Maybe it was geeky or even embarrassing, but now especially I understood the appeal. Because she's like so out of control. Like she cannot make her own decisions with her mom about like anything. And her mom's not listening to her. And she's just very out of control, you know. She's out of control. And she's like, I need to be able to control this, my life in this situation, and I can't.
Yeah. And that's Mom. Where just making models. Just really,
It's therapeutic.
But yeah, it is therapeutic. I think, you know, crafting, anything like that, like anything that you can kind of, like you have a say over, you have control over, can be very, very therapeutic in that sense.
Yes, absolutely. So the next morning, she gets up really early, so early that her dad is not awake. Correct? Yes.
Yes.
The light's not even fully out. So she says, the entire evening, I'd been avoiding thinking about my mother as I made myself dinner, checked email, folded the laundry, and ran the dishwasher. But when she was in bed, she couldn't think of anything else. So she puts her little jacket on, and she walks out the door, and she goes to Fraser Bakery, which is not the bakery from Along for the Ride. Somebody in our Discord.
Oh, thank you for pointing that out.
Did tell us that. That bakery was called, like... Actually, I want to look now. Another thing I want to say, somebody sent us a message. Actually, let me say these two things separately. Oh, thank you for the birthday. Thank you for the birthday wish, Allison. Eli's ex-girlfriend's family owned Sweet Petite's Bakery.
Sweet Petite's, that's what it was.
Sweet Petite's, yes. Side note, I do just want to read this other message that we got the other day before I forget again, because I've already forgotten like 10 times.
Oh, yes.
But I found it very interesting, and I want to know everybody's thoughts.
I'm excited now.
This came to us from Allie Lynn. She was reading Dreamland. Rogerson takes her to a trailer to sell pot, and she describes the road as being tiny but having a massive pothole. She says, I wondered if that might be the same driveway down to Wish Catering, but I couldn't remember if it was just the Wish Catering property or if other people were living out there. And I'm like, oh, I need to reread that.
So, yeah. So, in the truth about Forever, the Delia's house and Wes's house, which I guess would have been like his mom, Wish, or, you know, because that's what they called her, Melissa. Right? I think it's Melissa, and they called her Wish because she had a lisp. His house is there. So those houses are definitely there. But yeah, are there other houses down there? I think so. Like, I think it's like a road that has access to other people's houses, right?
Yes, because isn't Chrissy's trailer nearby,
like her, in grandma, walking distance? I think it's like the one night Wes walks over. And so, yeah, so theoretically it could be, because clearly there are trailers in that area. So if it is a road with a big old pothole, yeah, I think that could be. Which is interesting because Dreamland came first. So, like, she had this thing and then was like, oh, I'm going to have. So I wonder, I would assume it has to be intentional because our queen always, you know,
always
does these things intentionally. But that is interesting that usually it'd be like, oh, you're, like, looking for something. But actually it's, like, this kind of, like, vague road. And then it comes back and it's like an important road in, you know, in one of her stories. So that's kind of interesting. But yeah, that's good food for thought.
I thought so too. Yes, I was like, I'm going to have to circle back to this. But anyway, moving on. She orders the procrastinator special. Five minutes later, she
reminds me of something we talked about on Tuesday.
The procrastinator special and poor things. So she sits down at this fireplace. She's got her food, she's got her coffee. She's like, once I calmed down the night before, I could understand why he'd said what he did about just giving in to my mom's demands. We've been fighting for so long and we just didn't want to fight anymore. Like, this what is 6 months in the scheme of things?
But also still annoying. It's the principle of the matter, damn it.
The principle of the matter is this is annoying, but, like, at least she's saying, like, okay, well, how can I make this kind of work for me?
Yeah.
She's sitting there, and then who walks in? Lindsay Baker. She is wearing yoga pants, which... LOL yoga pants. They don't call them yoga pants anymore.
Nope.
I do though. Yoga pants.
Heart.
Oh,
in my heart forever, yoga pants.
For any young ones out there, I don't think we have a lot of younger listeners, but yoga pants are flared leggings.
Yep. Sure are. Sure.
Same thing. Same exact thing. So anyway, she's wearing flared leggings and a fleece jacket. And you can tell she just screams like Lululemon.
Yes.
Head to toe kind of thing.
Immediately. That is the vibe. I was like, oh, she's one of those Lululemon athleisure women, isn't she?
Yes, 100%. So she's like, oh, wow, McLean, I didn't know you liked this place. And McLean says, I don't. And then she's like, no, I've only been here a couple times. Like, I didn't know. And she's like, oh, I love Fraser Bakery. I come here every morning to get my skim caramel espresso, which, like, of course you get a skim espresso. She's like, how do you not love this place? It's so cozy and it feels good when you walk in with the little sayings on the wall. And I love when I travel that there's always one on some corner. So it's like having a little bit of home with me no matter where I go. That's like saying there's a Starbucks in
every country. Yeah, I was like, so Starbucks? Yeah. And I was then like, also I was like, am I Lindsay Baker? And the fact that like I do – like Starbucks is always great, but Starbucks when you're traveling is like a game changer. Like something about it seems like more special. It's a special treat. Like Starbucks at Disney World, like – slaps, you know what I mean? It's the same, it's the same coffee, but for some odd reason, because it's at Disney World, it just slaps a little extra harder. So I was like, dang, I don't want to agree with Lindsay Baker, but
yeah, true. Like at the airport Starbucks, airport Starbucks is like a necessity. Like you have to go.
And it's the longest line. Wait you will ever wait for any freaking Starbucks. And yet you're gonna do it because you're like, I'm in the airport, of course I'm getting Starbucks. Like I'm about to go on a fun adventure. But first, Starbucks, because that's what, like, that's what's, you know, yeah, it just, it's a must.
We'll have to get Starbucks before we go to Sweden.
You best believe we getting some Starbucks, you old JFK.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's kind of like, oh, the food is great and everything's wonderful and blah. So, you know, McLean's just trying to be nice. And she's like, oh, I'll have to try that skim caramel thing. And she's like, oops. She's like, oh, you won't regret it. And then she's like, oops, gotta go. I gotta go get a bike at my freaking spin class. Because, of course, Lindsay Baker does a spin class. Mm-hmm. It's 7 in the morning.
Yep.
She said, your dad says you're really liking it here. And she's like, oh, he says that? And she's like, yeah. And I think he likes it, too. Especially lately. Just a hunch. Girl.
Gag me. You're delusional, girl, okay?
How many times did you have to call this man before he agreed to see you?
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Take a hint.
So she leaves, and she's like, good God. He's like, well, she's like, but I am relieved because my dad could never be with a woman who loved this place. He's like, she's like, we cut and runners might be sketchy, but we had our standards, and that's fair.
Yeah.
At 7 a.m. sharp, she dials and calls her mom. And she's like, we need to talk. Also, I love how the fireplace is fake.
Fake. Yeah, it's just there for the aesthetic. And I was like, you couldn't even get, like, if you're not going to get, like, a real, like, wood-burning one, that's fine. You couldn't get, like, a little electric one. Like, what is electric purpose? Electric one? Truly.
Right. Right.
Just to look at.
In the restaurant I worked at in Albany, we had 2 fireplaces, one on each floor, and it got very hot very quickly.
Real warm up in there.
A little toasty. But, yeah. Then she gets home. Dave throws a basketball at her, and she's like, do you have a vision problem or something? Because he's terrible at basketball, and he's like, just keeping you on your toes. So then he kind of asks her, like, why don't you play with me? And she's like, no, I can't. And he's like, you can, like, let's do it, like, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, I really don't want to. Like, she's doing that, like, basketball is evil now. And but Dave is kind of pushing her. He's like, listen, you live in a basketball town. Your dad played for DB. Your mom is married to the current DB coach. And I happen to have personal experience with your overhead shot. He's like, you love basketball. You can't leave it. Basketball is a good thing. Basketball only wants you to be happy.
It's true. It's not basketball's fault what happened to your parents.
So then she's like, okay, fine. I will shoot it once. And of course she's like, excellent at basketball. And he is like, holy crap, you're so much better than me, basically.
Yeah. He plays by street rules, which basically is no
rules. No rules. It's
bad. It's bad.
Yes. But then we kind of get like a flashback of her, what the conversation with her mom was like, which she was like, basically the compromise was that McLean will come for spring break and for the full week, and then four other weekends as well that she has to pick, and like we'll send the dates in advance and like this is what it is, like please call off your lawyers. And mom is like hesitant to do this, which is like annoying because it's like,
right,
what do you want from her? To live with you all the time and be miserable? No, that's what you want.
She's like, you know, hey, if I agree to this, will you call off your lawyers? And her mom goes, I didn't want to have to get the courts involved. Fuck you. You had, like, you're, she's acting like she literally was backed into a corner, had no other choice. Like, McLean was like, call the lawyer, mom, because I'm not coming. No, you had one conversation. Your little itty bitty feelings got hurt. And instead of talking to your daughter and asking her what she needed and what would make her comfortable in visiting you, you got your lawyer involved. So I hate this. Exactly. I didn't want to. Again, like, she's always playing the victim. And I just, oh, I cannot with her.
Yeah. It's painful. But her mom agrees with it. And they're just like, okay, so moving on. Moving on words. We're back with Dave. He's like, just try to get past me. Like, I dare you. And she's like, you're playing horribly. And he's like, street rules. I mean, street ball. No rules, basically, as we said. And then at one point, he tackles her. And they both go down to the ground.
Ooh.
And they're laying there together.
Hey, now.
Breathing heavily.
Hey, hey, hey.
And she says, okay, so with that, you left the realm of basketball completely. He says, full contact, no guts, no glory. She's like, I'd hardly call this glory. Here you go. So they have this little basketball banter. She's like, you're a weird player. And he's like, what? That's not an insult. Like, I'm chilling. And then he's like, do you want to make it best out of two? And she's like, you didn't score, so. And his mouth was just inches from hers. And she was sure he was going to kiss her. He was there. I could feel his breath, the ground solid beneath us. But then something crossed his face, a thought, a hesitation, and he shifted slightly. Not now, not yet. It was something I'd done so often, weighing what I could afford to risk right at that moment. And I recognized it instantly. So he's like, wants to kiss her. He's like, obviously very into her, but he's also like, she's not really down for what I need from her if we're going to start a relationship. And he knows, he makes a good choice here, honestly. Very mature. Very mature.
Yeah, I will say. We respect you, Dave. Yes.
We do. We do. We always respect a Destin man.
That's true. They're always
except great. For Rodgerson. Fuck Rodgerson.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are lovely.
That guy can go to hell where he belongs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's still playing. He's like, you need to play basketball. You love basketball. And she's like still trying to like, no, I don't. I don't love it. I used to love it. And he says, yeah. I mean, it's not surprising, really. Once you love something, you always love it in some way. You have to. It's like part of you for good. And I highlighted this and I wrote, that's us with Destin.
Aw, that's right in my feels. Yes.
Well, because beautiful. Like, she was always part of us. And then we were like, we're in our 30s. Let's do a podcast. And now she's Now we know her.
Also, like, next time we meet up with our bestie, I need to ask her about this Veronica Mars premiere thing.
Oh, my God.
Because I was like, how did I not know this? I probably did at a certain point and just, like, didn't know that I did. But that was, like, such a fun little flashback that she posted about today. And I was like, I didn't know if she won a contest and, like, went to the Veronica Mars premiere. And I need to know everything. And then also I was like, should we cover Veronica Mars on Chaos? Because now it's, like, in the Destinverse.
Hell, yeah. And it fucking
was right up our alley because it's, like, aughts nostalgia, it's, you know, so badass good. Female lead, great show.
It's so good. Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, oh, my gosh, my worlds are colliding. This is so cool. I want to ask her what she thinks of Dax Shepard. I want to ask her.
I know, right? Like, so many questions.
So many questions. Like, what Sarah, were they like?
Let us know the deets because we have so many questions.
Sarah, do you want to do another interview with us? But instead of talking about your books, we'll talk about Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard at the Veronica Mars.
Premiere. Can you spill the tea? And she'd be like, oh my God, girls, yes, let's do it.
Also, you watch Veronica Mars?
Yeah.
Okay, so the reboot.
Yes.
The final, oh no, they watched the movie together.
Yeah.
Not the reboot. Yeah. There was a movie and then there was a reboot. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, were you sitting next to Kristen Bell when Logan gets blown up in a car? Logan?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Logan.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Spoilers. Spoilers
for everyone. Spoilers. Spoilies.
Spoilies. Oh my God. That was so crazy. I was like, absolutely literally wild. When that happened, I was like, I had to like pause the TV and just like look around. There was no one with me, but I was like, no, what just happened?
I had to take it in for a moment.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good old Veronica Mars.
Good old Veronica Mars. So jealous. So then they decide to play. She's like, okay, let's play. And that's it. Friends.
That's it. Love is blossoming. Mom is being difficult, but weirdly enough, again, her teenage daughter is the one taking the high road and is like, you know what? I'm not going to fight this. I'm just going to, we're going to compromise. Isn't it crazy that a teenager can, and Luna is getting very riled up right now. I don't know what my husband is doing, mostly playing. It's very vocal. Also,
she's got a lot to say.
While Luna's just chatting us up, I don't know if I officially said on the podcast. I know obviously I talked about the fact that she was having her oral surgery. Just so everyone knows, yes, that did go very well. She is clearly very much okay. She was a little drowsy and out of it for a couple days. She's a very, very hungry girl because she has to be on a soft food diet for a couple weeks, which means like no treats throughout the day, obviously, because like all of those are like hard. And she is just sad and hungry, and I feel very bad about that. But I am absolutely caved in, and she has some doggy ice cream, so she's been getting dessert every night to make up for the fact that I can't give her treat throughout the day. You know what else is she spoiled?
You know what else is good to give dogs? I like to give my dogs plain Greek yogurt. They go nuts. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like a little probiotic.
Yeah, it's good for them. Get a little of that good bacteria in. But yeah, so she's just been very funny with that, very hungry. But other than that, just so everyone knows, yeah, she is doing well. So yay for that.
Yay.
That was chapter 10, everyone. Thanks for coming to listen to us do a little ranting about restaurants and a lot of love for Dessen. We will not be here next week. So everyone do remember we're taking next week off. But we'll be back the first week. Is that the first week of April? Or no? Is there one more week in March?
There's the last week of
March. We'll be back the last week of March. So this is like our little spring break. Think of it like that, y'all. We're just going on spring break. And then we'll be back ready for the rest of the semester, ready to just absolutely boss out the rest of the semester. So we look forward
to it. May. And then we'll be gone again.
And then we'll be gone again because we're gone. I don't know if y'all heard. I don't know if we haven't talked about it enough, but we're going to Sweden to see Taylor Swift. No big deal. Cash.
We're going to Sweden, so just no biggie. Don't be jealous.
We will be getting Starbucks en route, as discussed. And living our best lives. And I hope all of you are living your best lives as well. As always, take care of yourselves, and we will chat real soon.
Chat soon. Bye.